cliffcentral.com. In a moment or two, we're going to be joined by the master distiller of Beefeater Gin. And I'm very, very excited to have him on. His name is Desmond Payne, MBE, and we will talk to him about gin. It's something that I think a lot of people in South Africa are huge fans of. Many people want to know how it all works, how long it takes to develop new gins, what the actual character of the grain spirit is. And also find out how Desmond himself got into all of this. He's in South Africa at the moment, and we thought we'd take advantage of him being here to find out a little bit about that. But we've got our co-hosts, Sunil and Simpiwe, here with us this morning, who are going to be joining us as we go through your Wednesday morning and start your day for you. So let's meet Desmond Payne. Desmond, it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us. And I know you're only in South Africa for a short while. So it's tremendous to have you as part of this morning's little menu of things. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
So, Desmond, we have met before. And I remember we spoke about 51 decades that you've been in the gin industry. And 26 of those have been with Beefeater, which is an unbelievable brand. Many South Africans absolutely love it. And you're the guy who is the master distiller there. You're the one who's been putting this and all the other products that we know and love together. When you laugh like that when I say it's been 51 years, but 26 of those years. I mean, if you'd lived 51 decades, you'd be doing all the things plus the gin. And I think you might have had at some point after about three decades, you must have decided, right, now I'm just going to hit the gin hard. But it's an amazing thing to be able to talk to someone who's as au fait with this stuff as you are. You've also got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Gin Guild. You were also awarded an MBE from the Queen in 2018 for your contribution. So these are all huge accolades. Are you the most qualified and most awarded man in gin?
Well, people might say that. I think the truth of the matter is I've been around in gin for longer than anybody else. So one of our brand ambassadors said, you know, okay, you're the most experienced gin distiller. No, you're not. You're just the oldest.
well, potato, potato. I mean, we consider that someone who's been in a specific business as long as you have, you must be fairly expert. Have you got one of those incredible noses that you could pick up just about anything in a gin? Is that part of the skill that you've developed over years? Or is that just something that people talk about when they don't know anything about gin?
Well, it is true. I mean, we always think when we're tasting something is what we get on the palate, in the mouth.
Right.
But really, the sense of smell is hugely important. I spent a few years right at the beginning of my career in the wine trade. And I think that kind of helped to develop my sense of smell.
I'm sure. So tell us quickly, after so many years in the gin industry, how have you seen it evolve? And what's changed? Because gin has absolutely skyrocketed in the last 10, maybe 15 years, but I think it's probably the last 10 years. It's become an enormous part of everybody's activities, everybody's range of drinks that they offer at home, that they want at the bar when they go out, that they want at the restaurant when they go for a meal. What's happened with gin, and why do you think this huge upsurge in the last little while?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's gone crazy. That's why I'm still around, really. It's a combination of things. You know, things go in and out of fashion. That's one thing. So part of it is about fashion. And people don't always want to drink what their parents drank or holiday where their parents holidayed or dress like their parents, etc. So it's partly that. But it's also, I think, largely down to the fact that this generation of bartenders are absolutely at the top of their game. And it's something about gin. You know, we think about fine malt whiskies or something, and you kind of sip them neat and that's it. But of all the spirits, gin is the one that has that ability, requirement almost, to go the next step. So in other words, what I make as Beefeater Gin is not the way that anybody drinks it. It may be as simple as a gin and tonic or a more complex cocktail. The bartenders love to work with gin because they can put their own stamp on it, their own influence. And that's part of it. And we certainly see that, you know, markets that really never saw gin in the past, like most of South America, for example, I never saw a bottle of gin when I was traveling there. Now Brazil is one of our biggest markets, so you know it's fashionable. But it's because gin is something you can really work with and put your own stamp on it.
Desmond, what about the manufacture of new gin products?
Can you hear you, Gareth?
Oh, sorry. Desmond, what about the manufacture? What about the manufacture of new gin products? Because it's not as if you have one formula and, you know, a company sticks to that forever in a day. There may be certain products that are tremendous and stand the test of time. But when you're developing a new gin, and there are all of these artisanal and floral and various other kinds of gin that they're coming out with, I mean, it's very, very difficult. You go into the bottle store now and you see such a variety of gins. And you obviously have been at the forefront of developing so many of these. How long does it take to develop a new gin, and what goes into it?
Well, the first gin I ever developed was a brand called Beefeater 24. And I'd actually been making gin for 40 years at that stage, so it was time I put my own sort of influence on something. And that took me about a year and a half because I really wanted to – I was learning. I'm still learning. I'm a bit faster these days because they're coming out quite quickly. I think one of the things that's happened, one of the trends in gin is flavored gins, which is a slightly odd, almost a contradiction of terms, because all gin is flavored.
Yeah.
But the addition of fruit flavors and color and sweetness to gins, that's massively growing in the market. And they're really exciting to do. But actually, from what you said earlier, everything I do is based on the traditional regular Beefeater gin. And then I just do something else with it to give it another dimension.
And Desmond, is it true that all gin has to have juniper berries in it?
That is true.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I think gin is kind of in revolution at the moment. People are saying, why must I do this? Why can't I do that? But if you forget the juniper, it's not gin. It might be a really nice drink, but it ain't gin. So you know, there are some limits to it.
No, I think juniper, yes. It's good to know those rules. Now, you also said, speaking of rules, that everybody has gin their own way, and people prefer to mix it with either this or that, or they put these things in it. And you know, there are all these people who put a ton of different fruits and berries and all kinds of things into their gin. Some people put in mixes of various colors. Is there a favorite way? Obviously, you're not going to tell anyone they can't do it that way, but is there a favorite way that you like to drink gin?
Many ways, in fact. I mean, you know, the classic way of drinking gin is gin and tonic.
Yes.
I have a kind of philosophy about whether it's making a new gin or how I drink a gin. It's kind of keep it simple. Don't get overcomplicated. You don't need to. Let the gin talk for itself, if you like. So with a gin and tonic, I like just a decent measure of Beefeater gin for me, some ice, not too much, and top it up with tonic. About 3-1, 2-1. It depends on, you know, how much you want to take. And for me, just a slice of lemon is great. But I've been to markets like in Spain, you know, where they dress up the gin and tonic with a handful of juniper and sticks of licorice and cherries and strawberries. And it looks great, you know, but you kind of have to strain it through your teeth to drink it in the end.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. It looked more like a fruit salad than a gin, right?
Exactly, yeah. So for me, keep it simple. And the same principle applies to making a new gin. You don't have to go to, you know, take a rowing boat up some strange river somewhere and find a flower that grows on top of the tallest tree and use that as your botanical, just for the sake of it. Because, A, you're never going to find it again next year. And it's just honestly not worth the effort. It's about flavor. It's about balance of flavor. That's what really matters.
Well, Bailey, who's listening to us, says Beefeater 24 is amazing. Now, that's your creation. What other career highlights can you tell us about? Because with that many years in gin, there must be many. It must be difficult for you to just whittle it down to one or two.
Yeah, I think I've probably forgotten quite a few of them over the years. I think receiving the MBE was great. It was a nice surprise. 24 was great. I created that gin. I kept everyone away. I said, this is all my work. Go away. I'll tell you when it's finished.
Uh-huh.
And There's a big competition called the International Wine and Spirits Competition.
Yes.
And I've been at a lecture somewhere, and we'd just launched the brand. And I came out, and there was a big sign, and it was showing my brand new gin as the trophy winner for best gin. So that was a really proud moment.
That's tremendous.
And, you know, when I travel, I sometimes, you know, just go into a bar and not on business particularly, and I see my products behind the bar. I think, yeah, that's good. I made that.
Mm.
You know, so you get these
lovely
moments of pride.
It must give you enormous satisfaction to see it on the shelf and to see people ordering your gin. And I mean, you mentioned the MBE. Now, the Queen occasionally partakes in gin, doesn't she?
She does. We hear that she's just given up drinking, which is sad for anybody.
Actually. I would have thought you should accelerate as you get into your 90s.
Well, I'm accelerating, that's for sure. She does. When I got my MBE, it's actually done by Prince William.
Oh wow!
He they have a little chat with everybody. You're sort of lined up, and it's next. And he said, "Actually, I'm a vodka drinker."
Oh,
so which wasn't what I wanted to hear. But
no.
I said, give it time, sir. And he said, "It's all right." He said, "There are other members of my family who are definitely gin drinkers."
Well, that's a disappointing bit of information about Prince William vodka. Ugh. Anyway,
we'll work on it.
You've been to South Africa a number of times, haven't you, Desmond?
This is my third visit, actually. All too brief, unfortunately. I came down for a colleague's wedding about 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And spent some time going around the Garden Route, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And a very brief judging a competition up in Johannesburg about 5 years ago. So this time I'm here for a week, so that's great.
Oh, good. So you'll get a little bit more time. That's very, very good. Do you think South Africa makes good gin? Have you tried any of our local ones?
I have. I mean, the thing is, everybody everywhere is making gin. So there's good and bad everywhere. Actually, there aren't too many bad gins around.
Okay.
But there's a couple of South African gins. What I'm intrigued by is the use of local regional botanicals, flavors, which gives gin, you know, a different kind of slant.
Yeah, I tried something called a protea gin a while ago. They used like fynbos from the Western Cape.
Yeah.
So there are all kinds of...
Not contain fynbos, yeah.
Very interesting infusions.
Well, Inverash is good.
Yeah, Inverash is lovely. Sells quite well. But well done on so many years at Beefeater. And with Beefeater 24, that's your real masterpiece. If people don't know and they haven't tried that, then what kind of gin are you drinking, for heaven's sake? And it's terrific to have you on. And please keep doing the good work that you do to keep so many of us happy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I sneak in one quick question?
Go,
is it true that black pepper enhances the gin flavor?
Well, if you say so, yes. I mean, there's no right and wrong in these things.
Oh.
And I've never actually thought of putting black pepper in my gin to enhance the flavor. But why do we put pepper on our food to enhance the flavor?
Right.
So, yeah, it will work. So I'm going to try that. My next drink, which is not going to be for an hour or two, I'm going to call for black pepper. I'm here really for the gin and tonic festival on Friday, so maybe I'll try it then.
Oh, brilliant! Okay. So the gin and tonic festival, we'll find out all the details of that and put them up on the website as well, and you can go along and visit. But Desmond, great to have you in South Africa again, and as I said, keep making terrific gin. We all love it.
Thank you so much.
Very
Cheers.
Good. Nice to see you. There's Desmond Payne, the master distiller at Beefeater, and he's been in the business for 51 years. CliffCentral.com